Joseph.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, what's going on, man?
Man, well, the weather outside is frightful, but the Squire is so delightful. And if you got your pipes to go, let it smoke, let it smoke, let it smoke.
You really forced it, man, and it came out poor.
Yeah, I think I nailed it. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
It was festive. It was festive. It's wonderful. Man, Merry Christmas, dude. It is upon us here. It is upon us. Yeah.
Yes, sir, man. Merry Christmas to you. It is the seasonal holiday episode of Country Squire Radio, man. Our big Christmas special. Happy holidays to you and the good folks at Country Squire. Yeah. And man, how are things? I know it's you're bustling down in Jackson, Mississippi, with the snow piling high and the pines. You know, the fresh pine scent is wafting
aspen,
through the rafters.
Aspen scent, yeah. No, it's hot and muddy like it is all the time.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
No, it's we've had a couple days where it's a little chilly, you know, and that's been kind of nice. But yeah, overall, it's been, just kind of normal central Mississippi, you know, mid-60s, low 70s. You know, it gets hot during the day. It gets chilly at night. We, wear shorts in the afternoon and put on our overcoats in the evening. And yeah. Yeah, just normal, man. Everyone's getting sick and, you know, it's Christmas time.
Holly jolly. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Man. No, it's great. Yeah, yeah. And I guess I ought to, you know, explain this to our listeners too.
You want to talk about it?
I think so.
Okay. All right.
It's a big deal for our family. So I think so. I'm in quarantine.
Yeah.
And
you are.
The reason I'm in quarantine, I don't think I have COVID, but someone.
But neither did the guy that
hung out with me for an hour on Monday morning. And luckily it was Monday morning, and he was literally the only person I saw that day. So praise the Lord.
Right.
But like he literally we're sitting together and he gets a phone call and he was like, oh, this is the doctor calling me. My employer made me get a COVID test because one of my coworkers has COVID, but I'm pretty sure I don't have it. And I'm sitting here like, I'm like, are you
famous last words?
Are you kidding me? And he's about to pick up the phone and the sweet nurse on the other side of the phone is going to tell him that, sir, you've got COVID. And so my friend who will remain nameless, but whom I'm feel like raking
frustrated
up,
with.
It's really bad. You know, he's sitting on the other, side of the counter from me and he says, he just looks at me and he's like, oh no, this is bad. And so,
we're laughing, but
it's
not funny
at
all.
It was really, oh man, I'm really frustrated. So anyway, he had COVID and, and I sat with him for, I don't know, probably 45 minutes. What do they say? The virus incubates. And so,
right. Exactly.
And so I'm giving it the little window of time, to do that. And I'm actually, living in my upstairs of my house, actually. So I have not.
Yeah. You got kind of like a nice little bunker setup.
Yeah, we've got a little setup. This is, I have a really old house. And so Bo can, see the video. I know our listeners can't, but, this old house, one of the bedrooms upstairs has this kind of slanted roof because, they took an old attic space and made a bedroom, probably 50 years ago. But, so anyway, I'm up here recording all by myself and haven't seen my wife and kids for days. And, it's like a prison, they leave you little food like at the door, and then they go downstairs. And then I go out and get the food, but the food's not prison
get
food.
Your tray.
I want to be very clear. Yeah. The food is not prison food. I've snuck out a couple.
Listen, John David, you could just admit.
Yeah.
The holidays were getting a little overwhelming. You needed a break.
This is a
and you bribed this dude $5.
I just want to say, like, this is an unmitigated disaster. Like, this is the time of year that in retail you're like, okay, we got to go. We got to get done. We got bills to pay. We got to get ourselves set up good for a really slow January. And Lord and his providence is like, nah, you're going to sit in your guest bedroom and you're going to
chill.
You're going to record with your buddy Bo while you're wearing pajamas.
There you go. So, there you go. I didn't know you were wearing pajamas, but that is appropriate for this episode.
It is, yeah. So anyway, that's the reality. I have, when no one's been home, I've snuck out in the backyard a couple times and just, you know, walked around and gotten some fresh air. But I'm going to go get tested tomorrow, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be negative.
Good.
And I'm going to go back to the country squire with Christmas.
Clear conscience Christmas and fury. Christmas cheer. Oh. A holly not so jolly, but he'll be there. Yeah, no, he'll be there.
No, it's great. So anyway, we're just trying to keep everyone safe, clear conscience. The shop is safe. My employees are all safe. Everyone's good. I'm at home just by my lonesome. So May 2022, put the death nail into COVID.
Amen to that, man. All right. Well, we're going to try to cheer you up, man. We're going to try to cheer you up because, of course, this is the Christmas episode of Country Squire Radio. And, man, we have got a lot of really, really great stuff this week. Man, I was scrolling through, the show notes that we've got for this week. And we've got Christmas feedback. We've got some Christmas quick fire questions coming up, man. We've got a good holiday pike question of the week. And, of course, it would not be this time of year without all the good little boys and girls thinking about that dude with the big bag. You know, the guy that flies around every single Christmas night looking on his list for the naughty and the nice. And when he comes down to the questionable, there we are, Squire Radio. And man, I am super excited because we are doing our Dear Santa episode of Country Squire Radio, where we are kind of sharing with y'all three things that we are asking Santa Claus for this year. Now, ideally kind of pipe related, but it could be also pipe adjacent, and I'm kind of helping myself out there. Yeah. So, man, let's see. Before we dive into it, want to make mention, of course, that we are made possible by our supporters at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. If you have not done so already, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio and support the show there. Join the International Pipe Club. John David, I know you, since you are kind of a little bit, you know, in quarantine, is there anything that anybody needs to know about this choir or anything like that? Like any big specials y'all got going on?
No. What's going on at my shop?
Yeah, exactly.
No, we had we did have a big Black Friday push and all that kind of stuff that lasted into the first day or so of December. But yeah, man, just rocking and rolling as normal. We're running low on the ends of our figgy pudding and cordial friends, so we'll probably have a little bit of that right up till maybe the day or so after Christmas. So anyway, if you want some of that, get that. And fun things looking forward to for the new year. So we're excited about that. Yeah.
All right, now I gotta ask you, man, when it comes to some of these holiday blends, do y'all, like, basically, the goal I would imagine is to sell out, but at the same time, yeah, if you have any left over, do you kind of pocket it and kind of age it, or do you just let it ride until?
Yeah,
you know?
Well, typically what we do, we keep all of our blending tobaccos are in an environment where they're, you know, kind of stable. So what we try to do is if we have leftover ingredients, this and that, then we, you know, we'll keep it until the next year and actually sit on it for a while.
Nice.
And then,
okay,
tinker with it. We'll blend up a few batches and just make sure it tastes right. And if we need to tinker with it or anything, we can.
Man, I guess that really is the benefit of being kind of a, you know, kind of that mom and pop tobacco shop, is that you're baking it up fresh, so to speak.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's a year to year thing. You know, the quality of the leaf that we get is different one year to the next. And so, you know, some people are saying Cordial Friends, you know, we have two blends that we come out with at Christmas time, Cordial Friends and Figgy Pudding. Figgy Pudding has always been the hot seller. It's the one that is, you know, everyone just, you know, has gone nuts over, and it's, you know, we're very thankful for that. But the last couple of years, Cordial Friends has gotten a really big following. It's gotten very, very popular. It, not quite as popular as Figgy Pudding, but it's pretty close. And yeah. And this year's edition of it, I think is more chocolatey than it used to be. There's something about,
interesting,
yeah,
huh,
something about this blend this year that just seems to be a little more kind of a milk chocolate note there that I think was not absent in years previous, but just is more pronounced this year. So, you know, it's kind of different. Tobacco's like any other vegetable or perishable item or anything. You know, it's just you know, it's going to change from year to year, and it's got its own characteristics. And we try to be as consistent as we can in all the processes, but it's open to small batch charm.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
No, the year to year variants.
Yeah,
I love
right.
it, man.
Yeah.
All right, so, Dear Santa, first of all, are you Are you anticipating toys, or are you anticipating coal? Are you on the naughty or nice list, you think, this year?
Well, you know, the nice thing is my name is Coal, and so we always get a lot of mileage out of that, you know. Yeah, I've been, as a good Calvinist, I'll just tell you, I've been a bad boy.
I mean, like, yeah, theologically speaking.
And I'm a bad boy every year. but yeah, you know, it's I'm not expecting a whole lot this year because, you know, we've got little kids in the equation now and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
and
yes.
I have bought myself a few presents this year, and so I probably don't need anything pipe related, but I am hoping to get a few things, and so I thought I'd bring the list today to talk about that. So,
all right, you go with your first. We'll kind of go back and forth.
You want to do back and forth? Okay.
Yeah. What's first on your list?
Okay. Well, I've got some really random stuff here, but this is exciting for me because it is stuff that I've wanted for a while. So, the first one, there is a well-known tamper maker that is particularly active in the Instagram pipe community. And if you are a longtime listener of the show or someone that's just been involved in the pipe community for a while and you get on, you know, social media and all that stuff, you have certainly seen the work of Buttons for Your Britches. Buttons for Your Britches Instagram, his name is Larry Blackett, and he is a pewtersmith, and he makes these gorgeous pipe tampers, and they're all made out of food grade pewter. It's just a beautiful work of art that he does. This guy has been around for some time, and actually we've never featured him on the show or really talked about his work much, but Larry is just goes through these painstaking processes that he's, you know, kind of created over time to make these very intricate pewter tampers. And he creates a mold. Then he's created this kind of proprietary process to, you know, stabilize the tamper so it's ready for use and all that kind of stuff. But images that he casts these tampers into are just so intricate and so interesting and fun. You know, it's almost like a really, really the way they look is almost like a really, really, really premium Monopoly piece. You remember when you play Monopoly and you get like the top hat or the little dog or the iron or
kind of that silvery type of
You know, I'm sure those were like, you know, little cast metal items or stainless steel or something. You know, he's using pewter and it just kind of reminds you of that image or whatever. But man, just very, very talented at what he does. So he's called Buttons for Your Britches. I love this. He actually got his start, and I think the main – I haven't talked to – I've never met Larry. I've never talked to him or anything, but just in doing my, you know, little research, my understanding is that his main line or of what he does is actually recreates historic buttons that are found on, you know, either at like, you know, battle sites for, you know, buttons that they found or, you know, if they're making replica uniforms for – you know, either costumes or, you know, history reenactment or that kind of thing. But he has taken, you know, literal buttons from, you know, 200-300 years ago and recreated that and so you can have an actual copy of something that was made of a mold of this button that, you know, wasn't made for, you know, since, I don't know, before the American Revolution or something like that.
Or if you're like a reenactor or a LARPer or something and you need like a button repaired on your gear.
Oh, exactly. Right. Or like a copy of it.
That is so niche, man. That's
so
crazy.
You think pipe smoking's niche? Like, yeah, man, Larry Blackett, he's niche, dude. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is awesome. Wow. So he just does a great job and has this incredible amount of skill and wisdom that one day he just decided to apply to his pipe smoking passion as well. And so makes these really cool tampers. You can actually message him through his Instagram account. Again, it's Buttons for Your Britches on Instagram, and check him out. But he got some great work, and I'm hoping the big fat red clothed man brings me a tamper from him.
I tell you what, he's got one on here, the Father Christmas in particular, mm-hmm. that is really nice. Mm-hmm. That is really nice and very flattering to the man in red as well, because there's not as much of a gut going on there. So, I mean, like,
my favorite,
if I was Santa Claus and I saw that, I'd be like, that's the image I want kind of floating around a little bit more.
It's like if someone took a Bo York head and put it on top of like Brad Pitt's body or something, be like, that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Well, that would just down that would just bring me down. What are you talking about?
That's true. Yeah.
Now this is a good one.
Man, I really like the tamper. My favorite tamper of his is the one that of a hand. It's almost a it's like a hand, and it's holding a pipe. It's holding a pipe kind of horizontally almost. It's kind of interesting. But,
I love
that. I just think it's so cool. He's got Sherlock Holmes and all kinds of little, figurines, shotgun
shells. He's got chess pieces,
man. There's little, religious symbols and all kinds of stuff. He's pretty awesome. So anyway, check his work out. And, maybe Santa, if you're listening, you'll, drop one off at the old Cole household.
That is so cool. Could you imagine like a chess board of just nothing but tampers? Like, that'd be a good way to make sure that nobody walks off with your tamper, because you can see it on the chessboard.
It's like, oh, a pawn is missing.
Exactly. All right, that was a good one. That's a really good one. So mine, the first one that I have is a little bit more like pipe adjacent as opposed to
that's okay.
Specific.
That's fair.
I really want, okay, so we've done episodes on lighters before. And, I've kind of talked about in the past, hey, match is all I need. I'm fine with the match.
Yeah.
I know you got your fancy lighters, or give me a Bic lighter if I just, if I'm out on the water, but otherwise, I'm just going to use a match every single time. And not in kind of like a, that kind of snobby way that some folks kind of be like, well, you can only really light with a match and only really these like special matches.
Swedish sulfur matches. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's not me. I'm just like, no, it's just simple and cheap.
Yeah.
That's ubiquitous.
Yep.
That's why I'm a fan. That being said, I really want a cigar torch lighter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this has been kind of, this is what did it for me. Cause like I've thought about it in the past and I'm like, well, I really don't smoke cigars enough to justify owning one.
Yeah.
Cause I typically use a match. It's just not something that I go to, but after recently with the, 50th anniversary cigar, which was fantastic. Yeah. And I remember just like kind of wanting that more premium experience. I mean, if I'm going to enjoy a cigar, mm-hmm. from time to time, I kind of want it to be that premium experience. I kind of wish that I had a torch lighter, especially because we were out on the back patio. It was a bit windy. Yeah. We were kind of like, fighting the match, or the match was fighting the wind and the wind was fighting the match. So there was just kind of this reminder of like, yeah, but can I really justify it? And then this is when I realized that Santa might make an exception. I realized that a cigar torch lighter has the potential to be a multifaceted tool. Because you see, John David, you can actually light some souffles and some marshmallows and everything with a torch lighter.
It's interesting, and I actually want to validate that your insanity here, because some of the largest so we sell butane at our shop, right?
Right.
Which butane is the gas that we use to power these torch lighters and premium pipe lighters. I recently just kind of as a test run have been I picked me up one of these Caribe Old Boy lighters. Ooh, that I really like. Yeah. It's kind of a slim fit deal, and it's a great little lighter. But they use that butane, and some of my biggest butane customers at the Country Squire are chefs.
There you go.
Because they're coming in to buy butane for their doggone little, I'm not a cook, but their little implements they need to.
Yeah, I don't know the name of it
or whatever it is.
But yeah, that's the thing. They brulee the thing and right. then they like toast it.
Yeah.
And it's one of these things, because we were looking at a recipe and my wife mentioned it and I was like, we could light it on fire, but I don't, you can't really do that without a torch lighter. And then I was like, cha-ching, like the light bulb went off.
If only I knew
and
someone
I realized,
that owned a pipe and cigar shop, right?
Well, exactly. I'm like, and the funny thing is you look at it and you can find cigar torch lighters for much less money than some of these like chef, whatever things.
Oh, it's a total scam. Yeah,
it's the exact same product, but like
scam.
One of them's like, this is your, you're only dealing with like the top of the bakery goods.
They're all made by the same company. They all are the exact same tool. That like they literally like they've it's a big scam. So these poor chefs that are like, oh, well, let me get my really fancy lighter for my pastries, or I don't even know what the heck you use them for other than a creme brulee. But yeah, I mean, you can spend several hundred dollars on these things, and it's we've got wonderful torch lighters at the shop for $12-$13. So anyway,
you know what I'm actually planning on doing with it, aside from lighting cigars, if Santa hooks me up,
yeah.
I want to make it, you know, I want to light a premium cigar, but I also want to make some premium hot cocoa. Do you remember that episode of The Simpsons where Ned Flanders makes like this like perfect cup of hot cocoa to like get Bart Simpson to like come to the window?
Uh-huh.
It like he just keeps on stacking it up with like cocoa, whipped cream, a graham cracker, a marshmallow on top of the graham cracker. He then toasts the marshmallow while it's on with one of those like torch lighters, and then like shaves like chocolate truffles on top
of it.
That's
what you
want. I was like,
yep.
I want that, and I want a cigar, and I want to know that the exact same torch lighter did both.
And you're gonna and you're gonna consume both at the same time, right?
Exactly, because I'm a free American.
That sounds
I think
great.
That'd be great.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So so that's first up on my list.
Yeah, we need to find you a good torch. I mean, hopefully the St. Nicholas will bring you one.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah, man. All right, what about you? What's your second one?
Next on my list, I painfully need. So this is like asking for socks and underwear for Christmas time.
Was it pipe cleaners?
No, it's not.
Okay,
well,
it's not that bad.
It is, but it's not the pipe cleaner you're thinking about. I guess. It is kind of like asking for socks and underwear for Christmas. It's like, man, what do you need? I need the essentials, and what I need is a pipe enthusiast and retailer and occasional pipe restorer is I need some new buffing wheels for my buffer.
Oh.
We have this ancient buffer at the shop that Mr. Reeves put together when in the early 1970s when the Country Squire was founded. And man, my buffing wheels are worn out. They are worn the heck out. I mean, they just are. They're, you know, just getting to where it's harder and harder to apply polish, and they're not as effective and all that kind of stuff. And to get a pipe to really look, you know, showroom perfect, you know, when we get those high end pipes and we really want to, you know, it's just like any other retailer. You get your, you take your, you know, most prized possessions out there and you put the cloth on it and make sure it's all polished up and looking good for all the, you know, folks to come and see. And you know, anytime we sell a really nice pipe too on the internet or wherever, we try to, you know, just make sure it leaves the shop in pristine condition. We want you to feel really good about what you get when you open it up. And also when, you know, we get estate pipes in, and I've farmed this out a lot now. I used to restore estate pipes more myself. Just, you know, I can't cut stems and all that kind of stuff, but I can, you know, polish the, you know, the ebonite and, you know, try to get some of the char off the rim of the bowl and all that kind of thing. And, you know, that has just gotten harder and harder as my time has gotten more and more precious, I guess. But so I farm a lot of that out. But, you know, occasionally I like to do that, and it's fun. And especially with my own pipe collection, if you're kind of tinkering with it and you want to get those old ebonite, vulcanite stems, just real high gloss, lacquer black polish, you know, looking so good, and put a, you know, heavy, you know, good carnauba wax on that briar bowl. You know, and I just don't have the, I just need some new tools. So I want a set of buffing wheels from Vermont Freehand for Christmas. Santa Claus, if you're listening, please hook me up with the equivalent of socks and underwear for the pipe repairman.
Man, that buffer does look ancient too. Like, I remember like seeing that thing, and it's just, you know, there's an industrial level quality to it.
No, it's the real deal, man. Like, you know, I've got, you know, guys that come in the shop, and they, you know, I'll take them back to the office where I've got that thing tucked away now. And, you know, and they're like, you still use that? Like, I've even got pipe makers, you know, that are like, you still use that? Yeah, we do, man. We, you know, it's got its little quirks, but we make good use of it. But
yeah,
but I do need some new wheels for it. So
this is the way. No, I like it. I like it. All right. Here's my next one. This is probably the most Christmassy of all of my three options here. My three requests from Santa Claus. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I, for years, have really wanted. So, all right. Well, let me back it up a little bit more. So I, you know me, I like movies. I like television. You know, part of kind of what I like about the pipe culture is the way that it kind of sometimes pops its way into pop culture. And, you know, the way in which writers or actors or artists use the pipe to communicate something always means a lot to me. Like that, I really love how that resonates with me. It's part of what kind of brought me into kind of pipe smoking, and what I really enjoy about it is it as an art form, both in practice and also in the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the pipes that has been kind of always in the back of my head is like, you know, I would really like a pipe like that. Not necessarily that pipe, not necessarily a replica, but a pipe like that. If you cast your mind back to a little film called Holiday Inn, okay? Do you remember Holiday Inn?
Nope,
this
not
is
at all.
Your boy Bing's in it, okay?
Oh,
This is one of his big holiday movies. And in it, he plays this, he's this performer, but he really wants to kind of retire and open up an inn. And he discovers that, you know, the inn life is really terrible. You got to, you know, shovel all the stuff and everything. And it's just, he just hates it. He hates it so much. And so he then gets this bright idea and he says, I'm going to open up this inn, but it's only going to be open for holidays. So the rest of the year I get to kick back and relax. And it's going to be great. And we're going to do all this performance and I got to hire the singer. And then he falls in love with the singer. And, you know, it's just this whole thing. And then she's going to run away with his best friend. I'm kind of spoiling the movie here, but at the same time, I'm kind of rushing through, right? Because throughout the film, you know, it's our boy Bing, right? So what is Bing doing throughout the film? He's smoking his pipe.
Yeah.
All throughout. There's this really wonderful scene where the actress, she comes in, the singer comes in to audition. And she's singing White Christmas. She's singing, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, right? And so she's singing that song. And Bing uses his pipe. He's got the piano. It's right next to the tree. I've talked about this before on the show, but he on the tree, there are little bells hanging down. And he uses his pipe to hit the bells. Ding, dong, ding, ding, ding. While he's actually playing the piano, while she's singing and everything else. And then later in the film, that moment comes back to remind her, as she's about to marry his best friend, that she actually loves him. And so the pipe is kind of the symbol of, you know, of love and family, stability. There's just a lot that's kind of wrapped up in that pipe, right?
Wow. All the things we know a pipe represents, but, you know.
Yeah, well, it just is specifically communicated in that way in that film. Because it remembers, I mean, different things to different characters. I mean, we could go off on that, but I mean, like, you know, you talk about like Moby Dick, the pipe means something a little bit different from
all
that. Regardless, that pipe was a paneled billiard pipe. And I have always kind of had my eye out for like a good paneled billiard pipe, you know, that cubed stem, like... And I mean, like the closest thing that I could probably cast somebody's mind to is like a Rattray's Merlin or Marlin 10, I think.
Those are beautiful. They're beautiful. I like the pipes that that Rattray's is cranking out.
I
think those were made in the Chacombe factory. I'm not sure. But man, awesome pipes. They're all beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like that kind of cubed, not like fully cubed, but almost completely cubed with a little bit around it, that paneled look and everything.
Yeah.
I've always been very curious as to smoke that and hold it and find out like what that would be like.
Yeah.
And so I can't quite ever bring myself to buy one for that reason because I've never smoked one. And it brings to the mind the concept of a hand that's not quite comfortable holding it. But at the same time, it does have kind of this significance of like, oh, but like what it meant in this movie. And it's such, to me, that's a Christmas pipe because of the movie. And because
is it a longer, do you want a longer pipe or something that's more kind of normal sized? You know,
I think medium, normal size.
We're not talking a church warden. We're not talking a nose warmer. We're talking kind of a normal sized pipe. I don't talk about my Dunhills a lot because it's, you know, you just don't go around talking about, you know, your Dunhills a lot unless you're obnoxious.
Around talking about your Dunhills a lot. No, that's a true statement.
Because don't if you're a decent human, you know. But, you know,
it's Dunhill Dave. Hey guys, y'all hear about my Dunhills? Let me tell you about my Dunhills. All right, I got this new Dunhill right here. Yeah, you seen this one right here?
And a new thing has been created. Oh, it's so good. Dunhill Dave. I've got to recover from that. That's beautiful. So I do have a modest collection of Dunhills. And I will say my favorite Dunhill that I've got is a paneled billiard. It is a paneled billiard. It is. I bought a collection. This has probably been 7 or 8 years ago now. I bought a collection off of a guy of Dunhills that had quit pipe smoking and, you know, wanted to, you know, make a little money off his collection, but, you know, wasn't looking to, you know, get rich or anything. We kind of worked something out and a nice collection of Dunhills. And I really needed to sell them because at the time the shop was just, you know, not particularly doing well.
Right.
But I did pick one out for me and to keep, and I kind of surprised myself in that the one that I kept was a paneled billiard, and it is a great smoker. But I think the fun of it for me is holding it in my hand.
I love
the tactile feel of it. It's a Dunhill Shell. It's a Group 3. We're not talking about a huge pipe. We're talking about one that's just a moderately sized, nice sandblast that really reveals some of that kind of gnarly grain. But it's just a nice pipe, but it is so comfortable in the hand. You can just, something about those angles kind of make it fun to palm while you're smoking it. So I encourage you, man. I hope Saint Nick brings you a paneled pipe. I think you'll enjoy it.
All right, that's good. I'm glad to hear that it's it does feel kind of good in the hand, because it's such a questionable thing. And I didn't know that I didn't know that you had quite a collection of Dunhills like that. Perhaps you should share more about that in the future.
It's a modest collection. Yeah.
A modest collection.
And you know what, you know what's really funny? I did not know that you were gonna bring this up, and I it's funny that I even mentioned that, because now I'm gonna go back on what I said, how people don't go around talking about their Dunhills, because it's just a bad thing to do. And I'm gonna tell you that the third thing I want from Santa Claus that's on my list, it's written
Dunhill
right here,
Dave! Dunhill
is,
Dave! What is it?
Is a birth year Dunhill.
John David Cole, Dunhill Dave, right
Dunhill
here.
Dunhill Dave. Yeah.
Man. Okay, yeah. No, tell me about this. What's this?
This is like the basic suburban white girl, like wearing her
This is your pumpkin spice pipe right
pumpkin
here.
Pumpkin spice. This is what everyone wants, right? It's like, sure. Oh, well, do you have your birth year Dunhill? You find a Dunhill. It's kind of known as the luxury pipe of the world type of thing. Whether you think it's the best pipe or not, it's just the pipe that kind of through time has set the standard, and Rolls Royce, whatever it is, But you find one of those, and you find one that was made in your birth year, and it's kind of this thing that a lot of pipe smokers like to do. And have you gotten your birth year Dunhill yet, or whatever? Or, some people actually get them for their kids when their kids are born and that type of thing. And so I have yet to buy a birth year Dunhill, but I'm on the hunt. I'm on the hunt. I'm actually currently. I almost pulled the trigger about a week and a half ago. I was so close. I found one on one of our competitors online, and found that they had a Dunhill Bruyere that was a reasonably priced billiard that looked like it was right up my alley, just something clean and simple and classic, timeless, and the finish was in good shape. There was no teeth chatter and all that stuff, and it was an expensive pipe, of course, because it was an older Dunhill that was in good shape. But I was willing to put a few shekels back for it and say, okay, I finally got my birth year Dunhill. But I didn't pull the trigger on it. I just haven't. I haven't found the one that kind of has captivated me yet or something.
Right.
So
you're a discerning. I mean, definitely a discerning shopper from this. It can't just 1984. I'm assuming is
1984 is the year, and I need it to. I need it to be something I'm gonna smoke. Some of the most beautiful pipes in the world, I can just look at that pipe and say, man, that's gorgeous. I'll never smoke that. And I just want it to be a pipe that I'm gonna smoke. So yeah, I've gotta find that one, gotta find that one. So Santa, my heart, and what I need. And I'm probably assigning to you a little too much credit that probably should go to someone else. But anyway, you do know my heart.
Mrs. and Claus, if you're listening. Yeah.
Mrs. Claus. So pick me out the right birth year Dunhill for me. And if you'll not drop it down the chimney, if you'll just kind of gently place it on the front porch, kind of, like pipe smoking Steve, that would be great.
Yeah. You think they know each other, by the way?
I think they're moral enemies, actually.
What? Oh! The lore continues. All right. Good deal.
That's a Russ Hicks drawing in itself, Santa versus Pipe Smoking Steve.
the battle between St. Nicholas and
Gumby
Pipe Smoking
and the
Steve.
Tooth Fairy and, Wolverine and everyone else. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. I want that to be our Christmas card one year. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
All right. My last one. Here's my last one, man. Okay. Now, when thinking through what I want for Christmas, right? I'm thinking like something that I I want to wake up that morning, cup of coffee, walk over to the stocking, reach in, and what I pull out is something that I am going to be like just so excited for. You know, I'm talking about quality. All right. I'm talking about a general feeling of specialness that can only be heightened by Christmas, but exists before the holiday. One might even argue year round. They say make Christmas all year round. Well, man, I'm talking about a product from the people that do that every day. Of course, I'm talking about our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's exactly right, like, man.
This is legit, though. This is legit. So it's,
I was like, you haven't told your third thing yet. So I'm hoping that you haven't forgotten it and are not going straight into the, you know, segment where we talk about our great sponsor. But at the same time, it sounds like maybe they make something that that you want for Christmas.
It's a both end. It's a both end. Of course, you know, we do appreciate Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring the show, but like, they're legitimately, they've got a product that I both want and feel confused about, a little conflicted about. Okay. I feel conflicted about it because
I'm on the edge of my seat, I have to say.
All right. They've got this pipe, man. It's relatively new. Okay. I think it's pretty brand new. Beautiful. Looks to have kind of a country gentleman style bowl. It's not a country gentleman.
Yeah.
A little bit of a longer stem. The, I guess, acrylic, if I had to guess, a stem is absolutely, I mean, it's gorgeous, man. It's fantastic. It is a good looking pipe. And I'm looking at this thing. They call it the Tiberius. And I'm like, interesting. The Tiberius. What a cool name.
Yeah, really?
What does that mean? And then I start reading about the description. Because, you know, one of the great things about our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum, they got great descriptions. So many of their pipes take inspiration from different folks from history or from lore. And so this one starts off like this. Boldly go where no pipe smoker has gone before with the Tiberius by your side. Now, I hear that. And I'm like, hang on, that sounds kind of familiar. Boldly go where no man goes before that. And I'm thinking, like, may the force be with you. No, that's not it. Turn to the dark. No, Luke, I am. No,
easy,
not that.
Easy now.
Not that. In honor of the Starfleet captain, Tiberius.
Wow.
One presumes of the Kirk.
That's right.
Family.
But that's exactly right. You know? Yeah.
So this is a pipe that that is inspired by the James T. himself. And I got to tell you, man, as a Star Wars fan, I'm kind of looking at this. I'm like, okay, first of all, there's no competition. Okay. We all know that Star Wars is better than Star Trek. We're not even quick firing this. There's no need to quick fire that.
Quick fire it because we all know it. Even if we're fans of both, like myself, it's just, you just kind of know it. Yeah.
I don't hate unless it's like between the two, in which case, I mean, you know, we got to do what we got to do. Like
right,
Star
right,
Wars
right.
is.
You've had your fun. Go ahead. Yep.
But the point is, I'm looking, and I was kind of like, you know, to our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum, you know, if you're looking for, you know, some perhaps alternative inspired pipes and everything, call me. Maybe a scoundrel, you know, maybe a princess, maybe a knight, you know, maybe a space wizard of sorts. I don't know. We could. I'm just saying we could talk. Let's talk because I see this pipe and it's gorgeous, and I want to encourage people to go out, pick up the Tiberius. It is a great looking pipe. And to our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum, we are so thankful for sponsoring the show. I'm just saying, maybe there's other opportunities out here. Y'all know how to get in touch.
That's hilarious. Man, no, I was actually not familiar with this particular pipe. It is beautiful, man.
Isn't it awesome?
Looks like it has a country gentleman style bowl, and it has a kind of a thin pencil shank with a longer stem. I think the magic of this pipe is the acrylic stem. It's almost like a we're not even to the advertisement part of the show yet.
I mean, this is kind of a blending of the two. I guess we're doing both here.
I was not familiar with this pipe until you literally just mentioned it. The stem on it is crazy, and I tell you why I think it works for the Tiberius is It kind of looks like space. It kind of looks like you're staring into a nebula. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like one of those, nebula that the Enterprise might fly near to, rescue some civilization that has been forgotten but is on the brink of destruction or something. It's very beautiful. So, and it's a non-filtered pipe too, which I know a lot of people appreciate when Missouri Meerschaum makes those. So that's great.
But then the Enterprise just flies by and be like, well, they're on the brink of discussion anyway. It goes against our prime directive if we're going to help them, so let's just sit back and watch them all die.
Well, no, that's when you get Data to read some poetry or something, you know?
This predates Data. See, I know some Star Trek. This Tiberius predates Data. That's okay.
All right, whatever.
You know, the great thing is like I mentioned, how this came up is because in preparation for the show, I was looking for, some of the pipes they've got and wanting to make sure we gave them a good shout out for sponsoring the show. But then I came across this and I was like, no, actually, I want this one.
I actually want that.
This is actually. So it ended up kind of being a little bit of a blending of the two. But big shout out. And hey, if you get a Tiberius, if you happen to pull out any Missouri Meerschaum out of your stocking this Christmas, be sure to give the folks at Missouri Meerschaum a big shout out. Let them know that we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week is actually coming in from me. That's right, from me.
What?
John David. I've got a pipe question of the week.
Okay.
And it's not like, people write into the show all the time. We've got some great pipe questions of the week, but I kind of bumped them back because I have one that is specifically tied to something that you talk about on almost on an annual basis.
Yeah.
And that is how you have generally, and there are a lot of folks that do this, have kind of a tradition of collecting some holiday blends and then like storing them up and kind of giving them a year and kind of doing that. Smoke one now, save it, save the other one for a year. And we've talked about kind of finding that sweet spot and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious, that seems like a really awesome practice for somebody like yourself who's been in the game for a long time. That is kind of a hard ask for somebody who's newer to pipe smoking.
Yeah.
And so I guess my question is to you, especially now, because I feel like, especially over the last few years, there was a lot of turmoil and turbulation in terms of like what blends are going to be here, which blends. Turbulence. No, I'm sticking with it. Turbulation. I'll double down. Anyway, point is, tribulation and turbulence. It combines into turbulation. And that is what we've experienced.
Go ahead. No, you're right. The availability of some of these blends has been difficult. Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah. So my question is, now that it feels, at least for the consumer standpoint, you might have a different perspective on this, but it feels like to some extent, some things have been kind of like whatever the new normal is starting to kind of like level out a little bit. I'm curious as to what you would advise a new pipe smoker who would like to start this tradition of kind of like, tracking a holiday blend over the years, which ones should they be looking towards to kind of begin that? I say investment, it's a personal investment. It's not like a financial investment or anything by that.
What would you say? Well, it's hard. And let me be transparent. I haven't been doing that as much since McClelland went out of business.
Right.
I mean, that was the thing, right? Is that, every year you get your can of Christmas cheer and you put it back and then you open the can from last year kind of thing. Or maybe, on top of that, you bought a can, two cans, and one of them you'd open this year. And then, you'd let the other one sit for that way, you get to try it now because you're all excited about, oh, what's this year's going to be like? And then, but then also let one sit back for a year and let that happen too. And so, so that tradition has gone away. We don't have that anymore and for a variety of reasons and hate that. But there are some other good Christmas blends out there. Of course, Jolly Old Saint Nick from Cornell and Deal. And I want to say they have put out a corn cob pipe with a button nose again. I can't remember. It's something that is kind of turning into that I think some people are really learning to enjoy is Sutliff Kringle Flake, which they've come out with now the past few Christmases. And the only thing with that is that it's hard to get, and so it's not something that you can just go out. And unfortunately, that's one of those tobaccos that you've got to, be awake at midnight when it shows up on such and such website and all this kind of stuff. It's kind of a shame, really. I wish they would quadruple the amount of stuff that they made, because that tobacco is really, really good. Yeah, I think, what you could do is, of course, get, some of the holiday blends that are available at retailers like the Country Squire, or we've talked recently about, folks at, Strauss Tobacconist and the folks at LJ Peretti and so many storied pipe shops across the country that make holiday blends, whether they are Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween, whatever. But, get you enough to put some back. Mm-hmm. And then You know, maybe designate some to smoke this year and some to smoke the next year, you know. Another thing too is just to find tobaccos that you know age well. If you're newer in pipe smoking, you know, anything that's got a good Virginia content and particularly anything with a Perique content, it's just gonna, you know, shine when it ages. And so, you know, if you think to, you know, maybe there's a special occasion in your life where, you know, okay, well, every year I'm going to purchase a can of one that ages really great is a Scudo, you know. So every year I'm going to purchase a can of a Scudo and I'll open it up the next year kind of thing. And then you've kind of got this ongoing treat as you go through life. So I don't know, just some ideas. But yeah, you can really do any tobacco like that. It doesn't have to be a Christmas-themed blend, as long as it's one that you really like and you think that a little age will help it.
Yeah, but you know, those holiday traditions are really fun. I like what you said too about, like, you know, mining the other holidays as well, because yeah, you can find some good stuff throughout the years. Great advice. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's, you know,
we
it's
do, just a- for instance, like at the Squire, you know, we have our two Christmas blends that we, you know, I talked about earlier, and that we've got people that will, they jar them up. And so every year they get this year's blend and they put it in a jar and then they smoke the ones they got last year. And that's what they do. And so, you know, it's kind of this ongoing treat to look forward to. Oh, I can't wait to open up the, you know, the figgy pudding that I got from last December. So, anyway, something to keep in mind.
All right. Well, good stuff. Well, hey, if you've got some pipe questions for us, be sure to send them into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire questions.
Ow! All right, man. Quick fire questions coming in from Pastor Joda. Yeah. Listen, man, Star Wars and Christmas kind of go together a little bit in this household, so I love the fact that that's two Star Wars references we've gotten in this episode. Thanks to the good pastor for that. Hey, these are our kind of Christmas edition here. Are you ready, sir?
Yes, bring it.
All right. Talking snowman, do you prefer Frosty the Snowman or Sam the Snowman from Rudolph?
I don't even know what Sam the Snowman is. So, and Frosty smokes a pipe, so Frosty.
I think that Sam the Snowman smokes a pipe as well. If I'm not mistaken, I believe this is the narrator of the Rudolph stop motion thing.
Okay.
You remember that? He's like, let me tell you about the greatest one of all. He's walking around, he's got a vest and maybe a mustache.
Yeah, I remember at some point watching the Rudolph stop motion thing, but I guess I can't remember the narrator. Yeah.
Man, Sam is that's potentially a deep cut. I kind of want to give it to Sam just for the underdog status, because I mean, like, everybody knows about Frosty, but not everybody clearly knows about Sam. So that's man, props to Joda on that one. I'm gonna give it to Sam for that reason.
Okay, well, whatever.
By the way, when you go back and like watch that old Frosty movie, like as an adult. And you realize, like, this teacher is trying to chase this underage girl. Like, it's like, what's going on here?
This is terrible.
like, at one point, he literally tries to murder her. And I'm like, what's going on here?
the 50s or whenever they made that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up for the robbers, Harry or Marv from Home Alone?
I'll go with Marv. You know, he was always the kind of the doofus one. They're both doofuses, but yeah, I'll go with Marv.
Never liked Home Alone. Not a big fan of slapstick. So I just,
golly,
it's a toss up. I don't care. Elves, do you want Buddy or do you want Bernard? Bernard from the Santa Claus and Buddy from, well, Elf.
Yeah. So Buddy, is he Will Ferrell's?
He's Will Ferrell. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'll go with that one.
And Bernard was kind of like the handler for Tim Allen's Santa Claus.
Okay. Okay.
He had a very like millennial-esque kind of like vibe going. I'm like, you know, that's not Elfie. Nah. Let's go with, gotta go with Buddy the Elf.
Okay. Yeah.
Instinct classic. The Grinch, the original, the Jim Carrey, or the new computer animation?
The original, 12 times out of 10. Yeah. I don't even know about the new computer animation, but you know, the Jim Carrey one, it kind of creeped me out a little bit. I don't know. I just wasn't for it. So, the original, I watch it every year. We've got it, you know, it's one of those few things that we've actually purchased on our Apple TV so we can, you know, go back to it year after year.
Wow.
It's great. Love the Grinch, man. And the original, stole Christmas. So got to go with that.
My wife calls me the Grinch who stole the Grinch who stole Christmas because I don't like the Grinch. Like, I've never been a fan.
You are a Grinch. God,
I tell you what, but I'm only a Grinch about the Grinch. I like other Christmas movies and everything else, but I've just never been a huge fan. That said,
even the
you're
Who's
right.
like the Grinch. Even the Who's in Whoville, they liked the Grinch. They had compassion on him and let him carve their roast beast. So you wouldn't even make it in Whoville.
The Who's? I don't know.
That band?
No, man. I'm just not a big fan. But that being said, you're right. The Jim Carrey stuff. Actually, that brief period of time where they tried to make Dr. Seuss live action was just a nightmare. That's some creepy stuff. Like, that was wrong.
Yeah, I'm
wrong.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the new computer animation, but I do know that Benedict Cumberbatch, if I'm not mistaken, it plays the Grinch. And he's fantastic. So maybe it's good. I don't know. But I'll go with the original out of the bunch. And then finally, Star Reindeer. Now, this is interesting. Star Reindeer, Prancer or Rudolph?
So, huh?
Who's giving it to Prancer? That's my question. Like, who is giving this to Prancer?
But Prancer, I mean, like in the old Christmas stories, right? There is no Rudolph, right? In the old Christmas stories, there's no Rudolph. It's just like on Prancer, on Dasher, on Nixon or whatever they are.
So I guess that's the thing, right? So if Prancer was leading the pack before, and then all of a sudden Rudolph comes on.
I think Rudolph is like a modern, and when I say modern, like, you know, 20th century invention that we embraced because he's got a red nose and he's awesome. And so I don't know. I mean, for me, it's Rudolph, but you know, I'm sure Prancer's a great reindeer too. And you know, did some
cool stuff. Like I will say from that standpoint, I do feel for Prancer a little bit. I mean, like, he's been holding it down for years, and all of a sudden this like new kid shows up, and I mean, in all fairness, Prancer was making fun of him. So I mean, like, you know, you kind of did it to yourself, Prancer, but at the same time, you know, in context, like, you know, like when we kind of reevaluate Rudolph a little bit, we're like, okay, well, he's a superpowered reindeer who has more superpowers than the other superpowered reindeer, right? Because they're all superpowered. They can all fly. But he can fly and shoot lasers out of his face. And I mean, like, you know. Anyway, yeah, Rudolph. Absolutely Rudolph. Sorry, Prancer.
I think he worked in the uranium mines a little too long when he was, you know, working on the old Manhattan Project or something. And his nose something happened there.
Something went down. Man, I'm going to throw one last one in here for fun. Cookie decorating. Okay. This is not from Pastor Joda. This is me. I'm going to throw this in. Okay. Sugar cookies or gingerbread cookies?
Oh. I'm going to go with sugar cookies, but I mean, by a hair, man, don't make me pick.
Well, so historically, we have always done sugar cookies. This year is the first year that we ever did gingerbread.
Yeah.
And we found
so good.
It's fantastic.
It's so doggone good.
I have never had good gingerbread before this year is the thing. Like, I've had, you know, the gingerbread. We were actually, there was this big gingerbread construction competition in Houston where they get all of these, like, contractors and like, construction companies. Like, they all meet up in the park. They all have tables. Kind of like Gumbo Fest in Jackson.
Yeah.
So they're all building these, like, you know, gingerbread constructs. And it's I mean, obviously incredible because it's all of these like architectural, like, you know,
right.
professionals, and it's really cool. So we went last past weekend, and we're walking through and seeing everything. And, you know, I was kind of sharing growing up that we had attempted some gingerbread houses. And, you know, I think like my parents would get like the gingerbread house in a box, and we would always try, and it would always fall over, and it was always pre-made gingerbread. So it was always like, you know, hard as a
stale.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. And then on top of that, and first of all, let me just preface this by saying the good folks at Primo's Bakery do fantastic work. Their cakes, their sweets are amazing.
You're about to dog their gingerbread.
Their caramel cake is a staple in our house. It is a holiday. Like, my birthday is not my birthday.
It's a American tradition.
Institution.
Institution.
That said, I do not care for their gingerbread men. And arguably, in Jackson, you need to understand, in Jackson, for folks unaware, that can be kind of like them's fighting words and could get me banned from certain like places. But I don't live in Jackson anymore.
One of those old Greek Primo's women are gonna come like cut you at night.
I have to say, of all of the things,
knife.
Of all of the things that I have said on this podcast in the last past year that are controversial, this is probably the one I'm actually afraid to actually say out loud.
No, that's fair. Yeah. And the Primo's gingerbread sucks. Yeah. Okay.
I am not a fan. I didn't say
I'm telling you, watch your back for those little Greek women, man. They're coming for you. They're coming for you.
You said that. I didn't say that. I am not a fan.
I'm just calling it what it is.
But see, that's the thing. This year, my oldest brought home a book from the library at school, and it was like a Christmas cookbook type situation. And in it was a gingerbread recipe. We made it the other day, and I felt, after years of nothing but the good folks at Primo's providing me with their version of gingerbread, this was the first time I had had, oh, such amazing, like, warm,
yeah,
and like just like
tasty,
not gooey
gingerbread.
Yeah, but like that perfect like softness, but firm enough so that you're able to like decorate. Oh my goodness, man. Mm. Oh, so good. So we are now a gingerbread only family from this point on. No more sugar cookies for Christmas. Santa's getting gingerbread. I don't know if that's going to help us or hurt us in the long run, but that's what's happening here.
I'm going to go buy extra gingerbread at Primo's and just to keep, just so they can deal with.
Just to counterbalance.
Just to counterbalance.
At some point. Yeah. Yeah. Did they ever sponsor this show for like a hot minute, like back in the day? I think they may have.
I don't think so.
Oh, they did. They sponsored Let's Talk Jackson for several episodes. They're great.
That's right.
Yeah. And their cakes are fantastic. I just want to say that again. Hey, quickfire questions. If you got some quickfire questions for us, send them into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, man. This is great, man. This first one is coming in from Caleb Frankert of the Old Fashioned Finance Podcast. Actually, I was talking to Caleb a couple days ago, actually, and he'd made mention of this to me. It's such a cool idea. What did Caleb have to say?
He says, "Hey guys, I wanted to share something that my amazing wife came up with for the Christmas season. Every year she makes an advent calendar for our kids with various trinkets, candies, and scripture. Well, this year I get to join in on the fun. Every morning until Christmas, I open up 1 ounce of Country Squire tobacco." Whoa! That's awesome. "I have to say, this is a great way to sample blends from the Country Squire that I've yet to try. 10 days in and no disappointments. Keep up the good work, John David. And maybe you should look into a Country Squire advent calendar for next Christmas. Merry Christmas to both of you. Your pal in pipes, Caleb Frankfurt," and Caleb, of course, from the Old Fashioned Finance Podcast, which we highly recommend. Think you ought to go check out. So, dude, that's so kind. I didn't know that, you had done that. That's really precious, man. I feel like I'm part of your family tradition now. So that's great.
Man, I love that concept.
That's
too
cool,
like a,
man.
Like a 12
yeah.
or an advent leading up to Christmas and with the various pipe tobaccos at the Country Squire. It's funny when he told me, I was like, man, do y'all have that many blends? And I guess you do. Yeah. You got a whole wall of them, so yeah, there's no reason why they can't take you to Christmas.
It fluctuates, but I mean, it's right now, I think it's around 30. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, anyway.
Man, that's awesome. Great, great concept, Caleb.
That's
Thanks
cool.
So much for
Thank you, Caleb.
That.
Yeah.
Adam Dunbar writes in, he says, "Spotify let me know that I listened to a total of 172 episodes for an average of about 7,675 minutes, which comes to around 5.4 solid days of Country Squire in my head. I wish I could figure out how to post that picture. Looking to shoot for 10 full days of listening in the upcoming year. Happy holidays, folks." And again, that is from Adam Dunbar. Now, this is interesting. Man. So, you know that Spotify does this thing at the end of the year. I think they've done it for the last 1 or 2 years, where for the people that are listening on Spotify, they kind of gather up their data and they say, like, hey, here's something interesting. You listen to a lot of this show, and here's a lot of like metrics about that. And we got some of those metrics as well in terms of like, these are the people listening to your show. This is like, you know, X amount of people actually listened on their birthday, X amount of people you were the number one podcast they listened to.
Yeah, what continents people are listening to you on, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's really cool to get those metrics. The 5.4 solid days of Country Squire Radio in my head, that is terrifying. I'm just thinking like we have to spend 24 hours in our own heads.
Yeah,
I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
I wouldn't either. And now we're in your head. So Merry Christmas.
Adam, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, man. Adam, thank you, man. Long time loyal listener. We're so grateful
Absolutely.
For you,
Absolutely, man.
and have pity on you as well.
Well, man, I know that, John David, you've been cooped up, and it's not exactly the way that one wants to spend the holidays and kind of these last final days ramping up to Christmas and everything. But hopefully we've been able to bring a little holiday cheer, a little
Hey, this has been a lot of fun, man. This has been my I feel like it's a portal into the rest of the world that's out there living, you know, and all that stuff. And so, I'm excited about, you know, hopefully, God willing, I'll go get tested tomorrow morning. I'll be COVID free and I'll be right back at the shop, slinging pipe tobacco and making up for lost time. But, man, this has been great. Yeah. Been a lot of fun,
man. I would say that is our hope and prayer for you and our hope and prayer for everyone. Just good health in this coming year. Just so thankful for everybody that tunes in every single week for the show. Those of you who just discovered us, those of you who've been with us all the way back many years ago in day one. You know, whenever we get to monumental moments like 100th episode or kind of the holidays in particular, it's just a really great time to take stock and say thank you all so very much for listening to this show, for supporting us, especially those of you who are supporting us over on Patreon and the club members. Like, this, we would not be here doing this right now without you. Like, that is just a truthful statement. And we thank you so, so very much for making this happen. All right. We want to encourage y'all to keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on Twitter's at Squire Radio. You can follow John David at John David Cole. You can follow the shop at _ Country Squire. But all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. John David, Merry Christmas, brother.
Merry Christmas, Bo. Merry Christmas. Yeah, you too, man.
Well, hey, let's go have a happy holidays, and I'll see you, well, not next year.
I'll see you after Christmas.
I'll see you. Well, hey, man, let's go have a happy holidays, and I'll see you next week for our big best of episode.
That's right. See you then, bud.
Let's go have a day.
Bye.